Maybe she's a producer.
All right. Everyone, we're going to have praise and worship, and then we're going to get started.
And you're alive.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
I've been safe in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Yeah, with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Yeah, with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. Yeah, with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good, yeah. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Yeah. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. 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 Does
everybody have notes?
Yes. Oh,
we did. You brought enough?
I brought enough.
Good, Pastor. Yeah.
I'm just blessed. Ain't that good?
Well, after Christ.
Amen.
You're all right.
Oh,
am I seeing it? Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov. Shh, keep it low. The governor might hear you. I was looking for Octavia's message she sent to me because I wanted to, the person that she had doing prayer, Pastor Ben. You know, doing prayer. Do you know the young lady that flew out to go see her and help her? Oh, Octavia, I didn't write it. Huh? Aaron? Her name was Aaron? Wow, is that crazy? Not crazy, it's like Jesus-like, right? So they were on the prayer line, right? And she's talking about, you know, the problems she's having with her child that has special problems, right? Autism. Yeah, and someone, I don't know, where the lady, where'd she fly in from?
I don't know from her state, but she flew.
She flew, she heard about her problem and she knew she could help. So instead of calling her, she got on a plane and went there and met her and gave her the thing so that she could help her with her child and everything. Mm-hmm. Isn't that like what Jesus does?
Yes, like.
It's like, see, that's what I mean. We're like the body of Christ, right? If we don't do anything, the body's not moving, right? So every time, you know, you do something for somebody, say you feed someone, that's the body of Christ, like handing it to them. That's what we're here for, to be in action, not just this walk around and claim who we are. But wow. I was like in tears. She flew in from Michigan to Texas. They're friends through the church. They never met. But she knows that's a sister in Christ. And I'm in Michigan. You're in Texas. I got what you need. I'm not gonna send it to you. I'm gonna get on a plane and I'm gonna bring it to you. I was like, wow. That was Jesus. So I thank you. I mean, talking about member of the month, I have nominated you, Aaron. God bless you. Okay.
A lot of stuff.
A few things, but we have more time tomorrow, so I'm going to read it tomorrow. I'm just going to give the names right now, okay? Because tomorrow, Christina Phibbs sent me a card, and I'm going to show the card, but I'm not going to read it until tomorrow. And I'm making my board. I'm back home and I'm making my board. Christina Phibbs sent me that. That's going to make the board. That's beautiful. And let's see, Becky White. Wow. I'm going to read these tomorrow, you guys. Because And she has a thanks on there. And keep barking, Becky White from West Virginia. I'm gonna read it tomorrow, Becky. And because we got a lot here and we got a message. And Yeni never forgets me. I love her. That is my friend. I got something for you, Yeni. And I'm hoping, yes. And she knows what it's about. Well, she doesn't, but she'll find out. All right. And then we got this card. Shana Tova for Mark and Nancy Webster. And they live in Norfolk, Virginia.
Norfolk.
That's what I said. Yeah. And look at this beautiful card.
Beautiful.
That makes the board. That's a beautiful card. Mm-hmm. And that's Shana Tova or Happy New Year in Hebrew. So I got my first Shana Tova card. Thank you so much. And this one here. Scott, I don't know what happened. This all happened while you were gone. We became famous. And this is from Valerie Garnes. I think it's G-A-R-N-E-S, but it's Valerie. And she is from Middleton. Is that D.C. or D.E., Delaware? I think Delaware, right?
I think that's Delaware.
Life is charmed with things that take care of them and still made the time to show you care.
Shalom from Hong Kong.
Hallelujah. Is that my friends in Hong Kong?
Your friends, that's Dawn.
Yeah, that's the, yeah. I was calling them and I forgot they're a lot of hours ahead of me. So, yeah, I need that fan. And look at this. Okay, I'm not going to show hers to Nest. Now, I was online this morning because I was going to order a cup with Hebrew writing on it. And look what someone sent me. I was online about to order this morning. Like, I want a coffee cup that has Hebrew writing on it. And then someone sent me this. Okay. She told me not acknowledge her card. Can I acknowledge?
Yeah, acknowledge the cup.
Okay, I'm acknowledging the cup. Okay, Debbie, thank you very much. God bless you, Debbie Morrison, yes. And she sent Pastor Ben one too. Now, is yours, is this already open? If yours is already open, it'll be easier for me to open it.
There you go.
And then Octavia sent us this one, so.
That beautiful?
And I was seriously online looking at a Hebrew cup this morning.
Like,
God must have heard me.
Okay. I teach about prayer.
I know. I'm learning from Pastor Ben about praying. And I want to show this incredible T-shirt.
Yeah.
Me and, because I'm gonna wear it when me and Sean go work out. Because every time we go work out now, it seems like we're doing more ministering than working out. It's. All right, now check the shirt out. Now this is not one of the shirts you want to wear if you're an undercover Christian, okay?
Yeah, that's
okay.
What I'm talking about.
And then if you turn around, you still not undercover, look at that. You see that? That's incredible. Who sent this, Pastor Ben? It's Jupiter. Ruda de Leon, Jupiter Ruda de Leon is R-U-E-D-A de Leon. See?
Say it again, baby.
Jupiter Gueda, Gueda?
Jupiter Gueda.
Jupiter Gueda de Leon. See, you got that Spanish tongue. I got a Hebrew tongue. And this right here. All right. Okay, so I thank every one of you. I'll thank you more tomorrow when I have time to read this, all of this stuff. But right now, we're going to get into the Word of God. Who sent this, Pastor Ben? Irene is here.
Irene! Who sent what, Pastor Ben?
This.
That came with the T-shirt.
Oh, wow. Nice. Okay. Get my cup. Okay, you guys have your notes with you? Did you send out the notes, Pastor Ben?
Dr. Nell sent them out.
How many people get the notes now? About 800 or so?
About a little over 1,000, I think.
That's crazy. It's crazy. I'm thinking about it. Yes, how you doing, Irene? How you doing?
We're not.
We're only open for... We just saw you coming, so we opened the door. So have a seat. All right. I love you. Me and Drea are going to meet with you and your friends on Saturday, right? Okay, we're going to have Bible study. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord.
You my hug, Pastor. I don't care, you too,
everything. I love you.
Wait a minute, let me see. This is Irene.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm the down low.
She knew me. She knew. They know who you are now. We've been through it. Okay. So here we are. Let's get started with this Bible study. The title of this Bible study tonight is Jesus, the King of Hebron, Rapture Time. And then the question is, who is Caleb? I need Zach to come pray me in.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Gotcha, Zach.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it.
Father God, thank you for being here tonight with us. And thank you for doing everything that you have for us. I pray blessings over Pastor Sandy, that he may be given revelation of what to say and what to teach, and show him the way through his teachings.
Amen.
We love you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you do. Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Zach. Zachariah, Bible name. Okay. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
God is good all the time in Hebrew. Amen. I'm going to set this book down because I probably don't need it right now. You got your notes? Who has their notes? I have to teach you these things before we get into the Bible study. Because if you don't know this, what God is trying to show you in this Bible study won't mean anything, okay? It comes like almost like a movie and an ending, okay? Because if you watch the whole movie, it's interesting, but the ending to this Bible study is the reason why you go, okay? Some people go for the beginning, I go for the ending, okay? So the ending of this Bible study is really what we need to know, but you have to know the beginning, and then you have to be kind of educated on the what all of this means, okay? The first thing we're saying is that the title of this Bible study is Jesus Christ, the King of Hebron, Rapture Time. And it says, who is Caleb? We'll get back to that. But first thing we want to read here is the word Hebron. Hebron is a city in Israel, and it has a very strong history. Abraham and with Caleb, who we're talking about. But let me read a little bit about Hebron, because God, I noticed that when God puts things in the Bible, he gives them names because he's trying to tell you a story, okay? So the word Hebron means in the Hebrew, conjunction, joining, in association. So the word Hebron is kind of saying you have been joined, you're in the seat of association, okay? So that's what Hebron means. It is the name of a city. And then Hebron is linked to the root of a guy named Jephunneh. And Jephunneh means he will be facing, or it means, the root of the word means God will make a way, okay? So that's Jephunneh. And he is a Kenizzite, and he is the father of Caleb. So we got to remember, Jephunneh is Caleb's dad, and they are Kenizzites. And so that you know that Kenizzites are not Jews, because you need to know that, Kenizzites are let's see, they're from Canaan. They're Canaanites who abode in the unknown, and they found themselves living amongst the Israel people. Matter of fact, Moses had married the daughter of Jethro, and Jethro was descendant of the Kenizzites and Jephunneh. So all of this stuff that I'm telling you is for a reason, because the Lord tried to show us something with all of this history, and it'll be clear to you what he was trying to show you when we get to it. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So I want to start us out by going to the book of Numbers. Hallelujah. They keep trying to get me caught up, Pastor Ben, and I'm not going to do it. Okay, so are you in the book of Numbers, chapter 13? Who knows about this story? That sending out 12 spies, okay? Now, this is to me has been one of the most hard to understand chapters in the Bible for me, because until I learned about faith, okay? Because if someone sent, okay, say for example, I tell you, you know, God has told me that you could beat up Mike Tyson, right? All you got to do is go to his house and let him have it. And then you go to Mike Tyson's house and he's standing there and he's all big and you're all small, and he's like, he's already angry. And I just told you, God said we could win. You would have to have faith in God, right, to throw the first punch.
Yeah.
Okay. This was a problem with the spies for me, because I was thinking without faith. I was thinking like, he's sending them here, and what they're going to see when they get there is not going to be very pleasant, okay? As they explained it. Okay, so let's look at this so we understand the history of it. Here you go. It says, I'm going to start at verse 3. It says, so at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of Israelite. These are their names. So he's sending out these 12 to go out and spy the land. Reuben, Shemuai of Zakkur, from the tribe of Simeon, Shephat, son of Hori, from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, from the tribe of Issachar, okay, the son of Egel, the son of Joseph, from the tribe of Ephraim. What does it say? What does your Bible say? That's really Joshua, okay? In the Greek, in the Hebrew, when you translate it, when you look at it, it actually is Joshua, okay? It's hard to explain the spelling of it, but it's Joshua. It means salvation of Yahweh, so it's Joshua, okay? Because if you're reading it, you say, wait a minute, didn't Joshua and Caleb go? I don't even see Joshua's name in the 12. Well, that's Joshua, okay? So if it's spelled with an O or an H, it's still Joshua, all right? So in Joshua, now watch this. He was representing the tribe of Ephraim, okay? And he was the son of Nun, then Benjamin, and then Zebulun, and then Manasseh, then Dan, then Asher, Naphtali. Okay, so there's all the 12 that are going to go out and spy out this land, because God has told them that they are going to possess that land. Okay, now understand this. Caleb is the son of Jephunneh, who is a Kenizzite. So that means Caleb is not even Jewish. Caleb is a Gentile. What is Caleb doing representing the tribe of Judah? Because it seems like they would have 12 people from the tribes representing them, okay? So this is the story behind that before I continue on. The tribe of Judah had a problem with, Judah had a child out of wedlock. Well, even worse than that, it was his son's ex-wife. His son had died. So now he told a girl, don't worry, stay in my house. I'm going to get you a husband. And she says, okay, I'm going to stay here. He doesn't get her a husband. So finally she gets tired. She goes and she pretends she's a prostitute. He goes, he sleeps with her. And he says, what do I need to pay for you to be with you tonight? And she gives him the price. And he says, well, I don't have that with me, but keep my staff and my rod. And when next time you come, bring it. I'll retrieve my staff and I'll give you what I owe you, right? So she does, and then he goes back to where he is, and then she comes back home, you know? And the guy comes in and says, hey, the daughter who had married your son, she's pregnant. And he says, oh no, he says, bring the man here that did it and have him killed in front of you, have him murdered. And then she said, well, give him this staff and this rod and tell him the father of the baby is the guy who owns this staff, right? And he got the staff and he goes, oh my, it's me, right? So now they have this child. It's an illegitimate birth, though, and it's an illegitimate way to have a child. So God has rules about this, and the rule for this is in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verse 2. And this is what it says. A bastard, I used to get a whipping for saying that, yeah. But somebody told me it's not a curse word. Well, anyway, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to the 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. So, for 10 generations, no one from the tribe of Judah can represent the tribe of Judah as a leader. They have to wait 10 generations before somebody from the tribe of Judah can actually be a leader in their own tribe. So being this problem, they said, well, Moses' brother-in-law, Caleb, is here. Why don't we put him in charge of the tribe of Judah? And Caleb can represent Judah. Even though he's a Gentile, he'll represent Judah. Okay? Now, let's continue. So now, we know that Caleb is now representing the tribe of Judah because he's the only one qualified now. Okay. These are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Moses gave Joshua, son of Nun, Moses gave Hosea, the son of Nun, the name Joshua. And Moses sent them to explore Canaan. He said, go up through the Negev and on the hill, see what the land is like. And whenever the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many, what kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? And they are unwalled or fortified. How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. Okay? So they went out and explored the land. Now, while they're out exploring the land, what happens? Who do they see?
Nephilim.
The Anakims. The Anakims are Nephilim. 9 feet tall. Big people. And they see them. All 12 see them. And all 12 come back to Moses. And they say, can we? So what did you see? Can we enter the land? Can we take it over? Joshua and Caleb says, we are more than able to take over the land. And whatever kind of faith they had at the time was God's type faith, because they said, we come from the same God that split the sea. We can do this, right? They were not basing their idea of rather they could do it based on rather they were big enough or rather the land was, you know, easy enough to do. They were basing it on the fact that I serve God. And who is God? He's the same one that split the sea and drowned the whole Egyptian army and brought our people out. So their faith is based on the knowledge of God, not on what they see. But the 10, maybe they weren't there when the water split. But they said, oh no, while we were there, we saw the Anakins, the Nephilim, and we looked like grasshoppers in their sight. And I don't think we should do this. We should, I mean, let's pick another land. And a lot of us said, oh, I would have been like Joshua and Caleb. No, you wouldn't have. I mean, if you had the power of the Holy Spirit and you were on fire, yes. But I'm telling you, we operate a lot of times off what we see and not what we know about God. You understand? And God wants us to operate by what we know about him, okay? That's why I'm trying to keep people in the Bible during these last times. Because if you know that God's got a rapture plan for you and a wedding plan for you and no tribulation plan for you, then you can walk around and be kind of like, you know, this is going on, but I'm not scared. But if you're looking at the news every day, oh my God, eventually you're going to start sending stuff out. Girl, look what they're doing over here. And you know, the mark and all this, you know. So you gotta kind of keep your eye on God and not on what's going on, right? Amen. Well, that was the thing with these guys. So Caleb comes back, and Caleb and Joshua make the same. Now, Joshua is the same Joshua. You don't hear from him again until when? Until Moses dies and turns over the ministry to Joshua. Now, Joshua means salvation of Jehovah, okay? Which Jesus means salvation of Jehovah. So Joshua is representing Jesus. Now, when they rejected, because all the 10 made all the rest of them reject Joshua and Caleb. So the 10 are kind of like the Pharisees, because Joshua is representing Jesus, Caleb is representing the Gentile church. And now, what happened to them when they rejected their message? 40 years of wandering, the desert began.
Wow.
Because they rejected Yeshua, Joshua, a typology of Jesus, and Caleb, a Gentile, a typology of the church. And so what happened with the Jews when they rejected Christ? It's been 40 jubilees, 2,000 years, that they have not had Christ in their life, okay? They don't have a Messiah anymore because they rejected their Messiah. And and if the Gentile church comes and say, we believe in Jesus and we think you are too, as Jews, you know what they're going to tell you? Get out of here. We're Jews. We don't believe in Jesus. But they've rejected both Joshua and Caleb. And that caused 40 years of wandering. They rejected Jesus and they rejected the Gentile church. 40 jubilees of wandering. But they're going to be rescued. Yeah. You understand? So let's continue. Now, as we continue on, let's go to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. And we're going to have to read here. Now, chapter 14, verse 6. Okay? Now, we know this. Moses dies, he's 120 years old. When he dies at the age of 120, God is going to judge him. God tells him, you're not going over to the promised land. Your judgment is going to happen now. Is it strange that God just always picks 120 to be the year? It's like, the flood's going to happen when? 120 years, really? Moses, you're going to die. Well, I'm going to wait till you're 120. You know? So it's like God is giving you a structure of what he's doing so that you understand. And this is what we're going to get out of this. Now watch this. You're in Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. It says, now the men of Judah approach Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. You hear that? Okay. But my brothers went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. I, however, followed the Lord, my God, wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of the children forever, because you have followed the Lord, my God, wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years, 15, 15, and 15. We'll talk about that another time. Well, Hebrew class. Since the time he said to Moses, while the Israelites moved about in the desert, so here I am today, 85 years old, and I am still strong enough and everything like that. Let's go to verse 13. It says, Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as an inheritance. So the land of Hebron in Israel belongs to who?
Gentile.
Caleb, who is what? A Gentile. Caleb is representing the Gentile people, and God gives him a plot of land in Israel and says, this land belongs to you. Okay? Now, let me make sure. Okay, I got to make this point. Well, watch this. Okay. What does Caleb mean in Hebrew? Dog. Okay? Caleb means dog. So on Kelavim, you could say the dogs, Caleb. Caleb means dogs in Hebrew. Okay? So listen to this in Matthew chapter 15, verse 24 through 28. But he answered and said, this is the lady comes to Christ to get help. For a family, and he says to her, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs. Okay, because this is what he says, but he answered her and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she came back and said, true, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman of great, great in thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole the very hour. He saw great faith in her. Did he call her a dog?
No.
Or did he call her a descendant of Caleb?
Descendant of Caleb.
He said, it is not right to give what belongs to the Israelites, to the Kelavims, to the dogs, to the Calebs. Okay? But she said, me being a Gentile, yet we eat from the table of the Lord the crumbs that fall off the table. Because without Israel, the Gentiles have no salvation. Amen. She was making a statement to Christ. I know you came from Israel, but you also came for us. You are what has fallen off the table of the Jews that have fallen into the lap of the Calebs, of the dogs, and we want to eat what falls from the table, and it's you. And he went, oh my goodness, this woman's faith. Because she was understanding from the fact of her history, and that Hebron belonged to Caleb, and the Calebs, the Kenizzites, were owned Hebron and they were the ones that still own to this very day Hebron. Okay? So, let's continue on and go to the book of Samuel, chapter 2. Samuel, chapter 2. Is that? Okay, that's also, did I say 2 Samuel? 2 Samuel chapter 2. Now, I know you guys aren't Hebrew students, but you need to understand typologies, okay? God is telling you in the Old Testament what's going to happen in the New Testament. It's just, he's going to make it a typology. Like, it's really crazy to me, one of the times in the Old Testament, like, Moses is on this mountain, right? And the mountain today is called Calvary, but back then it was called something else. And they tell Moses, go up the top of the mountain and put your hands out and hold them up like this. And he says, as long as you got your hands held up like this, and he's standing on Mount Calvary with two guys on each side. And he says, as long as your hands are up, you're going to win the battle against the Amorites, right? But as soon as your hands go down, you're going to start losing the battle. So he said, put your hands back up, and then they start winning the battle again. So the two guys kept holding his hands up so that he could be on the mountain like this and win the battle against the sin, right?
Crazy.
And I'm like, now you put that in the Bible so that we could see that the only way we can have victory is through the cross. And we have to hold it up. And if we put it down, we're going to lose the battle. I said, that's a great typology, okay? The whole Bible is written like that. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Jesus says, the volume of the scriptures is about me. He wasn't bragging. He was just telling you the truth. Everything's about me. Whatever you read in there, it's really something about me, okay? So I'm going to read to you right now the beginning of the rapture, okay? Now, let's go. Let's look at this. Now watch this. Are you with me in Samuel? 2 Samuel? Chapter 2, verse 8. It says, but Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of Saul's army, had taken Ishboeth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. He made him king over Galilee, Asherah, Jezreel, and all over Ephraim, Benjamin, and all of Israel. So now you have to know what Ishboeth means. It means a defiled person. So this person is a defiled person, and they just made him king over all of Israel. The Jews. This is not Gentiles. These are the Jewish people that are making a man called a defiled person king over all of them. Okay? They don't want David. They would rather have Ishboeth. And for what reason, I don't know. Okay? Like they don't want Jesus, but they'll take the Antichrist. Because he's going to build us a temple, and he's going to do this, and he's going to bring peace, so we'll take the Antichrist, right? And they reject Jesus. Well, this is what they're doing. They're like, we don't want David, but we'll take Ishboeth, the defiled man. And so they make a pact with him, and they throw a party at Mahanaim. And in the Song of Solomon, when the rapture happens, all of the Jewish women are saying, come back, come back. And Jesus says, why should she come back? You're going to throw a party like you did at Mahanaim? He said, you're about to make somebody else your king, and you know it's not right. So what they did is they made a defiled person their king. This means David can't be king over Israel now. It says, so Ishboeth, in verse 10, the son of Saul was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and he reigned for 2 years. The house of Judah, however, followed David. The length of time David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Wait a minute, let's go back. The length of time David was king in where? Hebron? The Calebs live in Hebron. So he's got to go rule among the Gentiles first? for 7 years and 6 months? Because he can't be king in Israel? Because they won't accept him? They accepted the wrong person? Does this story sound familiar? Okay, let's continue. It said, Abner, son of Ner, together with the men Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, left Mahanaim and went to Gibeon. Okay, I want to read all of this. I don't want to read all of that. Okay. So anyway, David is ruling in Hebron, okay? And he has to be king. He has to be king there for 7 years and 6 months, okay? He wants to be king over Israel, but he's in Hebron. And we know now that Hebron belongs to who? Gentiles, okay? Now, let's read a little bit of verse 4 at the top of verse, I think I had something to read in verse 3. Oh, yeah, at the top of verse 3, it says, chapter 3, it says, the war between the house of Saul and the house of David lasted a long time. David grew stronger and stronger while the house of Saul got weaker and weaker. So there's a war going on for the 7 years and 6 months. They're fighting over what? The possession of Israel. Go to chapter 4. Top of the chapter. When Ishbosheth, son of Saul, heard that Abner had died in Hebron, because David got rid of him, he lost courage, and all the Israelites became alarmed. Let's go over to chapter 5. At verse 3, it says, when all of the Israelites had come to King David at Hebron, so all of the Israelites and the elders came to David at Hebron. The king made a pact with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel after 7 years and 6 months. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah for 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned over all of Israel and Judah for 33 years. The king, now here, let's go look over here. Wait a minute. Okay. Okay, here it is. It says, the king and the men marched to Jerusalem and attacked the Jebusites who lived there. And the Jebusite says to David, you will not get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off. They thought David cannot get in here, because they're trying to fight him off because he's coming to fight a war. David finally wins the war and destroys them, and all of the Jews, all of Israel, comes to David and makes this announcement. You have been our king all along. Even when Saul was our king, you were our king and you fought our wars, and now we're so happy to have you as king over all of Israel. So now after 7 years and 6 months, David gets to be king over all of Israel after 7 years and 6 months. What does that 7 years represent?
Tribulation.
Tribulation. Where are the Gentiles living at? In Hebron. Where's David king at? In Hebron. So the Bible is telling you from the very beginning, there is going to be a kingship and a crowning ceremony. When you read Revelation, as soon as he says to John, come up here, and John is in heaven, and he sees a throne, and he sees this rainbow over the throne, and he's seeing all of these beautiful things in heaven. The next thing he sees is 24 elders sitting on thrones with crowns on their heads. And they're standing before Jesus, and they all take their crowns off and throw them at his feet. This is a coronation service. It's from David's time. They had to seat the courts of 24 priests before David could be announced as king. So they're having a crowning ceremony in heaven. Who's there? The seven churches. For how long? 7 years and 6 months. So the Bible is always telling you the church is leaving. They're going to be gone for 7 years and 6 months. The church will not be here for 7 years because the famine was 7 years and Joseph was where? In the palace with his bride. Every time he's talking about the tribulation, the bride is with the king. You understand? So what are we dealing with? We're dealing with right now a world that seems to be completely out of control. As Christians, should we be completely out of control and worrying about what the world's doing? They keep trying to get me involved in this Black Lives. I'm like, I can, Black Lives Matter, and I keep saying Black Lies. I don't want to get involved in it. You know why? Because I know it's manipulated. I don't want to get involved in the fact that now they found out that George Soros and Bill Gates and Fauci were roommates in college. No. So what is that supposed to do to me? It doesn't matter to me. I'm leaving. You understand? All of this stuff that you send me, I'm leaving. You understand? I'm the prisoner that gets out tomorrow. You understand? Bring me all your news, but it doesn't matter. You know why? Tomorrow I'm leaving. And the church has to have the same attitude that Caleb and Joshua had, because when they went in, their faith wasn't to look at the circumstances. Their faith was to do what? Look at what God's plan is. And so God is telling you his plan. 7 years, the church will not be here. The tribulation always says 1,260 days, the first half of the tribulation, 1,260 days, second half of the tribulation. It's dividing it up into 3.5 years, okay? So it's 42 months. It's always dividing it up into this 7 year time that the church will not be in the world. And the releasing of the church out of the world brings what? Judgment into the world. But judgment can't come until what?
We leave.
That's why when we write in Hebrew, 120 in Hebrew, you have to take out the letter that says Vav, which means salvation, right? So as soon as you remove the Vav, because the word and is the Vav, okay? 120, so you say, Me'at ve'estrim. Ve is Vav. But if you take out the Vav, that 672 value becomes 666 as soon as you take out salvation. So you think God did that on accident? Do you think he did it with the 120 by accident? He's trying to say, look, in the 120, when I take out the Vav, they will get 666. But if God tells you in a million different ways that he's taking you out, and that he's taking you to glory, and that the rapture is planned, he can tell you a million different ways. And if you don't keep your eye on Jesus, all you're gonna see is the giants are huge and we look like grasshoppers. And I can't even get you excited about leaving anymore. Because you're in the backyard digging a ditch, trying to find out where to hide your water and your noodles or whatever, right? Because the whole thing of me telling you this about Caleb is the fact that Caleb is the Gentile. That means that God was planning for the Gentile salvation. Jephunneh means what? God is going to make a way. God is preparing a way for who? For the Gentile church. To do what? To have a part in the salvation plan. He's coming back for Israel. But he wants to take a church out of the world first. And if you're not prepared and ready, then you're not prepared and ready. Because, please listen to me, there is such thing as a lukewarm Christian. I know we think there is not, but the Bible says there's a such thing as a lukewarm. And Christ says, if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. When? Because I don't want to be spit out. okay? There is a such thing as a bride who's waiting on Jesus who doesn't have enough oil in her lamp. Do you know that? It's in Matthew 25, right? She doesn't have enough oil. Now, it's not that she doesn't know she's supposed to have oil in her lamp, because she knows that the other ladies have oil in their lamp. So what is the other five doing? They're being disobedient, right? So you have this disobedient bride waiting for Christ, but they think, well, when he comes, he's just a nice guy, he'll take us off. And he's like, I'm telling you, I got standards. If you don't have the oil in your lamp, I can't take you. If you're lukewarm, I can't take you. If you don't have the garment that I gave to you to wear at the wedding, you can't come in. Because that's the history of the Jewish nation, is that the king can give a party, but he's going to issue out all of the wear. Everything that you're going to wear at a king's party is issued by the king. And the Holy Spirit has issued us a garment. Or God has issued us the Holy Spirit as a garment. And when the party is happening, when you show up, you got to have what? The garment on. If you don't, what happened to the guy? Cast him out of here into outer darkness. Why? He didn't have on the price. I saw a guy in here who doesn't have the garment on. Lord, what should we do? Cast him out of here into outer darkness. So God has standards as far as going into the kingdom, going into this time of escape. Be careful that you are worthy to be worthy of escape. This is what Luke is telling. He wants us to be worthy. How are you worthy? Jesus. Okay? How are you worthy? Jesus. Now, the other people that were saying this, didn't we heal people in your name? And didn't we feed the poor in your name? And didn't we do these things in your name? And he says, away from me, you workers of iniquity. So they were doing some other stuff on the side. It wasn't that they just were, they weren't trying to do works and make it to heaven. He said, workers of iniquity, because they were doing other things on the side, okay? And so you can't fool God. So there's a lot of reasons that God is telling us, stay focused on me, live for me, stay in Christ. You're not saved by works, you're saved by grace, but you're also saved by the relationship that you have when Christ appears. Yeah. Because if you are in a strong relationship with Christ when he appears, then you're ready. If you're in a lukewarm relationship with Christ when he appears, he says he'll spit you out, not me. So I want people to be like this. I want you to think of Jesus Christ as a relationship, okay? And I want you to think about your standards in the relationship, okay? Is it okay for your spouse or the person you're in a relationship to treat you like he doesn't really care?
No.
To not want to spend time with you? To go away for a few days and have fun sinning with other people, but I'll be back. No, right? So it's like we forget about the fact that God is in this for relationships, okay? And so you can't like put your relationship on the back burner and say, well, I know she loves me. When I get back and I feel like being around her, she'll understand. She might not, because my wife told me I can't, I'm not that type of person. I can't live like that. Either I'm number one or I can't be anything. Some people can like, well, if I'm number two or three, it's okay. There's some people like this. If I ain't number one, I don't want to be nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? God is like that, okay?
Bye.
God wants to be number one. So why am I doing this? Caleb is a Gentile. They rejected Joshua and they rejected Caleb. And they went into servitude they went into a march of 40 years. They rejected Jesus and they're rejecting the Gentile church, 40 jubilees. We're here. Jesus says, you should know the season. We're here. Our job, we only have one job and it's not a big job. What's the job? Stay in relationship with Jesus.
Stay in the fight.
I didn't say be perfect in the rest of your relationship as long as you live here in Christ. No, because there are a lot of people that's going to be like still repenting, still fighting, still trying to overcome things, still doing things. There's a lot of fighting against sin that's going to be going on when Jesus appears. If you're active in the fight, you're worthy. If you gave up and you're like, I'm just in the world doing what I want, then you're not worthy. You can't just give up and say, well, forget it, God, I'm just going to go back to the world and think that you're ready, right? And so I'm trying to tell Christians this, because this is what God told me. In the beginning of this whole ministry, prepare my people to leave. Am I going to have a big church? Calm down here, young man. You're not going to have a big church. Prepare my people to leave. Pastor Ben comes and says, we're going to be international. Well, Lord said, Pastor Ben said, we're going to be international.
Worldwide.
And I said, Lord, are we going to be worldwide? Prepare my people to leave. How do I prepare them to leave? Make sure they're constantly in relationship with me. Because if they're connected, I'm connected. When they disconnect, I gotta send the Holy Spirit out, send people out to try and do what? Draw them back. Why am I trying to draw them back? Because they're in danger. They dove into the water. There's sharks in the water. I wanna pull them back because I don't want them to get out there and get lost, right? Stay in relationship. That's all it is. You got a Bible, you don't even need a church. You got a Bible. You got a closet, you got a Bible. You got church.
You're the church.
You understand? You got one friend that likes Jesus too. You got church.
Amen.
You understand? So you don't even need a lot to stay in relationship. I'm kind of glad the church just kind of stopped going, because now you can see who loves Jesus and who was just going to impress the pastor. Mm. As if the pastor is like standing at the gates of glory when you get there. Come on in. The pastor's like, he's standing in line too. So don't think like that. Your relationship is your relationship. And it's got to be valuable to you. It's got to be your reason to wake up and to read your word. It can't be like, oh, because the pastor, or oh, no, it's got to be, I'm so personal with God. I can't wait to wake up, because I want to talk to him. I want to know what you got. You got anything new? You got any gematrias, any word? Any? I want to know. And then sometimes he tell me, I didn't like your attitude yesterday. I go, I forgive me, Lord. You know, I grew up in a bad neighborhood. You know, because we try to make mistakes, or, you know, try to make excuses. But anything I'm trying to say, I'm trying to say, Lord, forgive me. I'm still striving, but I'm going to stay in relationship. I'm not going to stop fighting, okay? And that's all God is asking. That's all he's asking. Stay in relationship. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.